Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message.
More scripture because we're going to do some more praying this morning.
We've got people.
Glory, I'm just sick and tired of the devil having his way in people's life. We have people that need supernatural touch from God. And there's various ways that we pray. And I'm going to touch on that as we go. Things that we're supposed to do. But this is one of them. Laying hands on each other. Praying for each other because there's spiritual power in it. Luke 4:16 says, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee." That's what he's talking about. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fasted on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus came and proclaimed the year of Jubilee. He proclaimed the time of the captives being set free. If you do not understand the year of Jubilee, every 50 years there was a transfer of wealth, there was a freedom. If people were slaves, every 7 years debts were forgiven, but on the 50 years, that was a part of the 7 year cycle. It's actually 49 years, and then on the 50th year was the year of Jubilee, when everything was reset and became all that God intended it to be, a renewal, a starting over. And Jesus came and he said, "I proclaim that God is in control, and the year of Jubilee is beginning now," when he walked on the face of the earth. And that year of Jubilee is still in effect today. That means the blind eyes are open. That means that those who are lame will walk. That means that those who are sick and afflicted will rise up and call the Lord blessed. Amen. Psalms 107, 19-21. 19 through 21. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. "Let me give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind." Lord our God, Psalms 30, verse 2. "Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me." Psalms 32. Now listen, the scripture that I just read before that, it says he's going to save you from the grave. We have some people that have been diagnosed with terminal issues, terminal conditions. Some of it's cancer, some of it's other things. But terminal conditions that the enemy has put upon them. Because we know for sure that God does not put sickness and disease, and I'll read some scripture in regards to that. God does not give us any sickness and disease. Anything that comes, it comes from the enemy, any kind of disease and sickness. Let me see if I can find this scripture real quick that I can share this with you. Matthew 10:1-8 says this. Jesus called his 12 disciples and to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Jesus went throughout Matthew 9:35. Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Acts 10:37 and 38. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judah, beginning in Judea, in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Now, not every affliction is a demon, but every affliction is originated from the enemy. Every disease originates from the enemy. But Jesus Christ is much powerful than the enemy. Jesus Christ set that pick on the enemy, and he took it completely out of the play.
Yes, he did. Hallelujah.
The only one at play, the only one that's in the play this morning that we care about is the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of his blood, we have the power to speak life and health over these people. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord God Almighty. We're going to pause right now and we're going to pray. Praise the Lord. Glory. Father God, we lift up our brother Bud to you right now. We know the report of the enemy. We know the report of the doctors. You know, they're just telling things the way they see it. But we believe your report, Lord, and we're asking for your report and your power to minister to Bud. In Jesus' name, that Bud will live, Father God, and not die.
Yes, God.
He will rise up, Father God, and he will be a tremendous witness to you in Jesus' name. Father, there's nothing I can say or do that will cause this to happen except to trust in your word. And you've said if we ask in faith believing, we'll receive. And Lord, this morning we're walking, I believe, in supernatural faith. There is faith in this place. It's going to go forth and touch Bud's body. And we thank you, Lord God. We also thank you that this is happening in Susie's body.
Yes, God.
A complete and total restoration of her kidney, Father God. That she will rise up. That she will be healed. Her kidneys will function properly. And the doctors will be amazed by your power, Father. Let it be so. Father God, there are others in our congregation. If you have an illness that has been diagnosed that it's not going to go away, it's going to be with you for the rest of your life, raise your hand right now because I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Glory. Yes. All right. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. Father God, you see all these hands. They've gone up this morning because the report of the doctors has been that they're just going to have to live with it until they die. Well, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood, we proclaim healing upon these bodies, each and every one of them. We proclaim that the Lord Jesus Christ is above this report, and his report is greater and more powerful. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to great reports. Amen. Now, I'm going to take a moment right here, and I'm going to have some people come up and give some short testimonies. Is there anybody besides Kathy, who I've already asked, who will come up and give a short testimony of healing? Kathy, come on up.
Pastor, do you see Carissa waving up there?
Yeah, Sister Linda. Carissa, come up.
And Sister Linda's waving.
Yes, Linda. Billy. Praise the Lord.
You hold my world in your hands. Nothing is impossible for you.
Praise God.
Nothing is impossible.
All right, I'm just going to start right here with Linda. Linda, what has the Lord healed you of?
In 2012, I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. It was the size of like a walnut. It was growing towards my brain stem. God didn't miraculously heal me like I wanted him to, but he gave me the best surgeon I could ever have. This surgeon is now teaching in Maryland this procedure. And I was supposed to be in a nursing home, and I was supposed to get occupational therapy and physical therapy. The surgery was in November, and I went back to work in January.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Praise God.
Yes. Now. Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Jesus.
That
yes,
is
Jesus.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Now, I don't want anybody to think that we're opposed to doctors.
Oh,
because
no.
we see doctors. God used doctors all the time.
Oh, yes.
You know, God works through medicine. He works through the health care system. But at the same time, although she had surgery, God did a miraculous yeah. work in her body.
Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. And that is so awesome.
Yes, indeed.
We have
right.
several other people that happened as well. Vince, what has God done for you?
Well, it was about 2006. I was having some terrible back pain, and I had to actually lay down on the ground on my side to pick green beans. And so as I was getting up from the ground, and I was still a heavy drinker at the time, I'd probably drank 8 or 10 beers, and I just made a gesture, God, will you please take some of this pain away? And I didn't think anything about it, and as I walked into the house slowly, went to ease myself back into my rocking chair, and I was thrown backwards. And I thought, what was that? And I went to get up, and it was real easy. So I didn't really believe it. I started dancing a little jig. And that's been since 2006. Found out I did have 5 compression fractures in my back, but through an x-ray, they were amazed that everything was like fused in a perfect curve. And so, but God is good.
Amen.
Yes, he is.
So you just said that you were still drinking heavily.
Yes.
It appears that God doesn't really care about that.
No, he didn't care.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
You called out to him. Now, does that mean that you continue to drink?
No.
No. Okay. All right. I just wanted to clarify that.
No.
He knows better, and he knew better then. But listen, God's healing power is not based on us.
Yeah, right. Thank you, Lord.
It's Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's all about him, not what we do.
Right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that testimony.
That's good. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay. Carissa, tell us.
Are you ready?
Oh, no.
Okay. In August, I found a lump, and it was after I had my mammogram done, and I thought, well, it's probably nothing. Grandbaby probably elbowed me. So went to the doctor, found out that there was definitely a lump there. So went to the cancer center in Columbus, and they said that she called me up, and she says, well, you have cancer. So I was kind of shocked, and I just said, okay. And she's like, are you all right? And I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. And she says, well, do you want to talk about it? And I said, no, I'm good. Seriously, I said, let's just talk about what we're going to do to get rid of it. And she's like, okay.
All
so
right.
She was good. Happy. So to move on here, please stop. I'm already a nervous wreck as it is, but basically we had to go get it removed, and then she called me up. She says, well, we still need to go. So I had to go in surgery a second time, get it removed. Then we started praying because they said, well, this will decide if we're going to have to do chemotherapy. Well, instantly I'm in war mode. Because I thought, I'm not going to go through chemotherapy. I don't want to. I saw what my aunt went through. I'm not doing it. So I got as many people as I could possibly get to pray. Kathy, that was my buddy through it all.
Amen.
And I just prayed and prayed, and I had the churches praying, had other people's churches pray, had so many Christians praying, it wasn't even, I didn't even know half the people that were praying for me. So then they said, no chemotherapy, you're not going to have to go through chemotherapy. I was like, oh, yeah, just moving right along.
Amen.
So then they said, we got to do radiation. I wasn't looking forward to that either. I'm kind of wimpy, and I don't like to do things like that. So went through radiation for about 3 weeks, talking to some of the women in there. They were really, really down. And I just thought, oh, wow, what can I do here, Lord?
Good.
So
you said it's an opportunity to
minister. Yeah, exactly. Right. I thought, well, I'm a talker. I can do it. So I just, like, they were real. Some of them were really down. Some of them not so much. But they were just really, and they said, well, what brought you here? And I told them everything that's happened. I said, but I'm going to get through this, all right? I said, because I got Jesus. I said, Jesus has been helping me through this every step of the way. I've got so many people praying for me. Well, I had a few eye rolls. And I thought, well, I'm still going to talk and tell about Jesus anyways. That's not going to stop me or deteriorate me any. So we just kind of used it, at him and I both, just kind of used it as a ministry time, because we just tell people about the Lord and how he's getting me through this and how he's helped me. Do you want to say anything?
I rebuke this dark cloud that follows her in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Dark cloud.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Let me.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
A few years ago, Chris, I had a cyst in the back of her neck. I don't know if you remember all that. It's been a few years ago. And the miracle of that was, is that she's almost bedridden over this. And one day, my dad pulls in the driveway. We're out in the garage, and she comes out crying, hysterical. I'm done. I said, go back in and pray one more time. About 10 minutes later, she comes out running around. Jesus, heal me. She was like, within, you know, a few minutes, about ready. I'm thinking, oh, what am I going to do? To running around, she's healed. So that's a that's the miracle right there.
Amen. Hallelujah.
She did it again.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Yes, I don't need that. All right. Very good. Thank you.
That's
Kathy,
awesome.
What kind awesome. Of cancer? I think everybody probably knows that you had cancer. What kind of cancer did you have?
Triple negative breast cancer. And when they did surgery inside, the tumor was another very rare cancer that only 1% of people get. And, you know, but I called on the Lord, like that song, and he answered. I really believe in prayer, and I'm so sick of Satan attacking our church. And I'm sick of it. Like what Ivy said, he's like a pimple. I remember what Jane told me. She told me, when I ever feel Satan attacking, you stomp your foot and you send Satan straight back to hell. I mean, yeah. I mean, and I believe in prayer. The whole church, I could feel the prayers for me. I could feel the Lord surrounding me. And that's what we need to do. We need, God is speaking to us. We need to listen. Let's not let Satan steal one more minute.
Okay. So the report from you.
The report was, I had to say that, yeah, because it's just okay. The Lord okay. laid it on my heart. But the report, when I went in, I can't go into all the details. Some of it was really bad. They were saying the tumor was big. When they were going to do the surgery, because they'd done all the chemo, they were hoping it would have shrunk it completely where they couldn't see it, but that wasn't the case. So right before the surgery, when I went in, one of the doctors says, what do you want us to do? And I said, talk to God, because he knows. And when they came out, the surgery was perfect. The tumor was smaller than what they thought. They got every bit of it. I'm healed. I am cancer free. God.
Yes.
Here to tell you, God answers prayers. I believe it. I believe in miracles. I believe in the healings. And you just trust the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I wanted to talk to you husbands.
Grab me a Kleenex here. Here, all of this.
Okay. I want to talk to you husbands because when you go through this, you got to be your wife's rock. You got to be. And I got a couple of Bible verses. Now, Satan is attacking the marriages. Not only here, everywhere. In Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. When you go through this, it'll humble you. And you see how much somebody means. She's always meant the world to me. But the Lord really showed me, you know, what life would have been without her. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. We need to become as men and be the rock of our household and lead our families in the Christian way. Amen. And put God first. We need to do that, men. Because if we don't, the world is already, look what's happened. If we don't become men and stand up for our families, our wives, you know, God comes first, but our wives should be second.
Thank you. Okay. Kelly?
Well, I don't know if I could beat that, but this is a testimony for my daughter. When she's about 16 years old, there's a little concrete wall down there at Chester Center. As all children do, they like to try and mimic things that goes on in the world. And she was trying to do parkour, if anybody knows what that is. Well, when she jumped off that little 2-foot concrete wall, she felt a big pop in her right knee and hit the ground. She said the only thing she remembers is picking herself back up. Well, at that point in time, she had a full-blown ACL. The ACL exploded so much there wasn't anything left of it. And she had some torn MCL. Well, the whole time she told the doctors and she told me and my wife, she said, I'm not going to need whatever they do. Whatever, God's going to heal my knee. I'm not going to need anything. So we went through the whole surgery and they had to use a cadaver tendon to attach to her knee. Well, when they do that, anybody that does carpentry or, you know, hangs pictures on the wall, they got these little anchors you can stick in drywall. Well, that's exactly what they do to these tendons when they put them into the bone. They drill the bone, they put the tendon there, they put that down in, and they screw this little piece together and it expands into the bone and holds that tendon in place. She said, well, I'm not going to need that. God's going to heal me. She said, I'm going to be able to do whatever I do, and I'm not going to need that. Well, a week after she had that done in her knee or so, she's just like, Dad, I see something that looks like a Phillips head screw coming out of my knee. I was just like, yeah, whatever. You know, you're just seeing things. Well, I took a picture of it with my phone, a video, and I can see it moving around. I was like, man, what is this? So we went back to the doctor. His name's Jason Cox. He's out of Holders. And we told him about it. Well, he got to looking at it, and he goes, yeah, he said, that's the anchor that was in her bone holding the tendon. He said, I've never seen that before. He said, I don't know why that come out. I was like, I do. He said, my daughter proclaimed it in the name of Jesus and she would not need that. And it came out. I took a picture of it because they wouldn't let me take it home. He's just like, well, against HIPAA violation, yeah. I just like, that's God. You know, she proclaimed it. She said, she spoke it in herself for herself. And that's another part of healing. Speak it into yourself. When people hear these words, oh, you've got this. No, you don't have anything. You got God. You got the Holy Spirit. Claim that. Don't claim the disease. Don't claim the frustration or the anger or the hatred. Claim Jesus. That's the happiness. That's the healing.
Thank you, Bill. Haley?
Really, this is my kid's testimony, but I'm going to say it till she can. When she was 5, she was diagnosed with leukemia while her dad was in Kosovo on deployment. And honestly, I didn't pray the whole time that she went through chemo or anything because I couldn't function. But thankfully, we had not only our home church, but all the churches in the area praying for her, because this kid, she reacts so weird medically. She, after a week after she was diagnosed, she got a blood clot in her neck and got a staph infection in it. And it was spewing the staph infection all over her body, and she presented in a way that not even the infectious disease department knew what was going on. She was in the ICU with 4 different antibiotics and 4 different antifungals, and she had a CPAP, and she just cried because she was 5, she was potty trained, but she couldn't get up because she was in the ICU. She couldn't get up to go to the bathroom. It was horrible. And then she finally, she had a drain in her neck. She had to have her port removed because the infection walled off over her whole port. She had to have a line put in her arm to get chemo. And after she got over all that, they're like, well, we're gonna start this new chemo. And sometimes they have anaphylactic reactions, but we haven't had a reaction in a really long time. Well, of course, my kid had an anaphylactic reaction. Her throat closed up. We had to get an EpiPen, and the nurses were all over her. And so instead of getting 3 rounds of a 2-hour infusion, she had to have 3 shots for 3 weeks in a row in her thigh. But they weren't just regular shots. They were deep, deep down in the muscle shots, and they hurt terrible. So she did that. It took longer than necessary for her to clear all of the cancer. And she also had the highest rate of the leukemia that you can have. So everything was against this kid, and now she is perfectly healed.
Yes.
There's not been a trace.
Yes. Yes.
She managed to get Lyme disease last summer and had Bell's palsy and couldn't move her face. And she cleared that in 2 weeks.
Yes, God.
So she is continuously being hit. And I think that it's God's going to do something through her that is just insane.
Absolutely.
Because yes, you're not 8 years old and get all this hit on you in 3 years. So. Yes. And I'm going to continue to say it until she can, because she's got some PTSD and anxiety, and she doesn't even remember half of it. So,
amen.
I'll just thank God.
We pray for that healing as well.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right. That's right. Yes, yes, Lord.
So I was 17. I was a little bit of a bad kid. So, but good things happen. I got pregnant with this one. And at 26 weeks, I went into labor. So they took him by C-section. He was breached, so they had to go in and turn him around and pull him out. So he wasn't breathing for quite a few minutes, and they kept working on him. They lost me, so then they started working on me. Then my grandma actually came back in and said, you know, if she wakes up and he's not here, you know, we're all gonna die. So. They got him back, they got me back. They informed me that since he only weighed 1 pound and 15 ounces. So they said that he probably wasn't gonna make it to the first month. So they shipped him to Children's West. He had his first surgery when he was a month old. They didn't think he was gonna make it through that. Now the oxygen that he needed for his brain was going to make him blind. But that was a decision we had to make. It was either brain dead or vision. And although legally he is blind, clearly he can see, and there is nothing wrong with him at all.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Oh, wait a minute.
Dominic.
Yes.
Dominic. Come on. Listen. You know, all of our teenagers are very special. And God has called each one of you sitting in here. God has a calling on your life. You may be running from it, You may hide from it, but God has a calling on your life, and he's going to chase you down. This young man is a very special young man. I appreciate him. Mm-hmm. He has so many talents and gifts, but most of all, he has chosen to serve the Lord, and that's what's
that's
awesome.
Right. That's right. Thank that's right.
Here. I keep getting over close, further over.
You guys have seen probably a lot of the things I've went through. This one's probably going to be new to a lot of you. But several years ago, before I knew the Lord, I had really severe anxiety attacks. I had them multiple times a day to the point that I couldn't hardly stand to go in public places. One day, it was Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, I don't remember, but I had a really bad breakdown, and my mom was trying to help me, and I told her, just leave me alone. I just need you to leave me alone, because I was just freaking out. And when she would try to help, it made me panic worse. And she kept telling me, you need to get help, and I didn't know what an anxiety attack was. I didn't know all that stuff. So I finally decided to go, and I went to a doctor. But they didn't really take me as serious, and they didn't realize how bad I was suffering. And so one day I went to Walmart, and I walked out of the store and I sat in the parking lot. And I started to cry, and I called my doctor, and I'm like, you gotta do something, because I'm losing my mind here. At that point, it was like, I don't know if I need committed or something, but I'm freaking out and I can't do this anymore. And of course my doctor did at that point, she helped me. But I want to tell you what really helped me was when I got saved and I started reading the Word. And I don't know when it actually even ended. I just know one day that demon didn't come to bother me no more. The enemy wasn't coming to torment me no more, and I was free. But the amazing thing is I've went through all kinds of hard times since then. And even when I go through hard times and my flesh is screaming, no, I don't want to face this. I don't have that. And a few weeks ago, or it might be a little more than that, I was kind of having a moment, and I told God, I said, you know, I know all the things you've promised me. Because, you know, we moms pray for our kids, and God shows us things, and he communicates with us. And I said, God, you've told me this, and you've told me this, and I'm looking at where we are and where you say things are going to be, and I don't see it. You promised me all that. Why did you make me a mom? Because I suck at it. And I know that's kind of hard, you know, hard to language. I'm just being real, because I was being real with God. And that's literally what I told him. Why did you make me a mom? Because I'm horrible at it. And I didn't even notice that the music in my car started playing. And I never heard this song. And this is the words to it. When did he break his promise? This is what I literally heard in that moment. When did he break his promise? When did his kindness fail? Never has, never will. My God is still the same. When did he lose his power? When did his mercy change? Never has, never will. My God is still the same. Not once did he ever stop moving. Not once did he ever let go. Not once did he ever stop proving our God is in control. You hear a lot of testimonies about what God has done in people's lives. What's your testimony? Where are you leaning on God at? Because what he's done for any one of us, he would do for you, and he'll set you free. There's no chain that can hold you. There's none. The last part of this that I'm going to read, it says, just ask the words. You prayed in desperation. If they're heard, they'll say, my God is still the same. But listen to this part. Ask the grave if it's strong enough to keep hope in its chains. Amen. Every chain can be broken. It'll say, my God is still the same. So Amen. Just remember that.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
All right. I'm not a good speaker either, even though I teach children, but back in November, my daughter, Chloe, she had had her COVID shot, which I didn't push it on either kid. I said, you know, you just decide what you want to do. She said, well, I want to get one because I want to protect me, mom, people. So I said, okay, you can do that. She did it at the school. Well, Saturday morning, she woke up with stomach issues. She said, my stomach hurts, but we just thought maybe it was just, you know, normal monthly things for girls. So it progressed through the week. By Saturday of the next week, we were in the ER. She was running 104 fever. Doctors didn't know what it was. They put her through CT scans. This child plays volleyball. She goes every day. She had went to school all week. And they said, I don't know how your daughter did this because she's really sick. So come Monday, we had six different doctors in the hospital room with me. I had an infectious disease doctor. We had several other ones that were just had heard her case and were like, we want to help you. So I started praying, and our church family prayed. Thank God for that, because I was a nervous wreck. But I knew God was still in control of it. Well, they came in, and they took her back, and they took the fluid out, and they really didn't know what it was. They said, well, we think it's an abscess, but we really don't know. And they said, well, it could be a cyst, but when they looked at it, it was just a ball of fluid. It wasn't white or milky like it would be if it was an abscess. So then the other doctor came in and he said, well, we still may have to do surgery in the morning because her white count was still elevated. And I'm like, no, she's not going to have surgery. And the guy looked at me and he said, well, she may have to. I said, no, because God will heal her. And I know he will. You've already done enough and she's not going to have anything else. So I went in the bathroom and I was crying. I said, God, you know, I've been here. We've been here for three nights at that time. And I said, I don't want her to have surgery. Please don't let her have surgery. I'll pray. And I always pray anyway, but I just want her to be healed because she's my little girl. So I come out and Chloe's in the bed and I hear the song. I mean, it sounded like we were having a concert out back of the hospital room. And I don't know if you've ever been up to Camden Clark Hospital. The room that we were in, we were up above the highway. And I hear the song, Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. I mean, it sounded like a big concert going out there. And I was like, what? So I look out the window and it's a parking lot. There's nobody out there. There's cars going down the road. I even took a picture of her room outside. Literally, there was not a radio going. There was no one out there preaching, nothing. It was God. The next morning they come in, they had the OR prepped for Chloe and they were still saying surgery. I said, no, God's already answered the prayer. There won't be surgery today. They came in and there was no surgery that morning. So you just have to rely on the Lord, because even with my mom going through the cancer she did, it was easy for me as a daughter to see my mom go through the sickness and say, why, God, why do we have to do this? It was easy to see my dad go through what he did and think, my poor mom and dad, please, Lord, just let their marriage stay together because it can break people apart. But God still answered. He still came through. And even with that, he gave a scripture to me there for my mom and my dad. I'll see if I can find it real quick. It was in Psalms. Let me see if I can find it.
You know, as much as we hate this technology sometimes,
yeah,
it sure is nice, isn't it?
I think it's in Psalms 126. I think it is verse 20, I think. It says something about the sowing of tears, but you reap joy. And I held on to that with my mother. I held on to that every day. I'm like, God, I'm sowing tears right now, but you're going to bring the joy. You're going to bring the joy. So you may reap your tears now, but your joy is coming in the morning.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me read a few more scripture here and then we're going to wrap things up here before too long. Acts 10, 37:30. I'm not sure whether I read this one already or not, but I'm going to go ahead and read it again. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judah, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Jesus, whenever he came in contact with somebody that had a need, physical, emotional, spiritual, he always dealt with that need. Not once did he ever turn that person away. Anytime they came to him. Woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus. All she did was touch his garment. And the word of God says virtue or the power left his body. And he knew that someone had touched him. He had hundreds of people surrounding him, pressing against him. And the disciples said, what do you mean? All these people are around you. But Jesus knew that someone had touched him with, because they had faith to receive from him. And in Matthew 8, 2 and 3, behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. If you've ever questioned, is God willing to heal you? Willing to touch you? Willing to deliver you? There's your answer. I am willing, he says, always. Here's what we have to understand. That Jesus came, he defeated the enemy, took back the keys from death and hell, and he put all things under his feet. We are his body. We are his children. And he delegated authority to us. He said this in Matthew 28:18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Verse 19, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus delegated his authority to his people. It's just a matter of us walking in it, believing in it, trusting it. And listen, you pray for somebody, we pray and we ask God to do something. It's not our responsibility to cause it to happen. It's on God. God's the one that is the healer. He's the one that's the deliverer. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, or 17, it says, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hand, with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. They will get well. It is so important that we trust in our living God. The disciples prayed this. They asked God, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of our holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. And then they went around doing miracles and healing, and mighty things took place. The disciples, Peter and John, were on their way to a temple one day, and a lame man was just laying there, asking for alms, asking for donations. And there was probably other lame people around, but this one happened to come across the path of Peter and John. And when he asked for them to give him money, Peter said, we don't have any silver and gold. But we do have something that is much more important. We have Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he leaped up and started dancing and running around and shouting. And everybody saw this mighty miracle. I believe signs and wonders are for today. I believe in signs and wonders have the same purpose that they had in the first century, and that is to confirm the preaching of the Word of God. Jesus either is our healer, He either is our Lord, either is our God in the flesh, or He isn't. We have to decide, what are we going to believe about Him? Can He do this? Absolutely. He can, and He wants to. We're going to wrap up our service this morning, but I have one more person that I want to pray for. Russ Well, who is in a hospital in Columbus at this time, and we don't know exactly what all is going on with him at this moment, but we do believe that we serve a living God. And he is in ICU, correct? All right. You want to share something? Go ahead. Turn it on.
It's been kept kind of private, you know, for the first few weeks that Russ has been going through this. He was taken to the hospital. They thought he had a heart attack. They discovered some possible cancer. And then Thursday night, he was taken back because he had a stroke of some sort. So he's been up in Columbus. Linda has been up with him and hooked up to a lot of machines. And, you know, the outcome, they just weren't sure. But she said that she was able to lay hands on him and pray, and he has started responding. So, you know, we just continue to stand in the gap for our sister Linda and Russ, that he will be a testimony, just like we heard these testimonies this morning, that he will rise up and be healed in Jesus' name. And one thing Linda asked, she's just very emotional about this. That's her love of her life laying there. And she's just asked for people not to text her or try calling her. If you want any information, please see me, see Susie Groves. We keep in constant contact with her. She wants to focus on her family. So please, out of a courtesy, you know, if you need to, you know, want any updates, you know, we'll share that on Facebook. Or if you want, you know, to reach Susie or me, you can do that. So we just believe that Russ is going to have a radical transformation. And we thank God for being with Linda and her family as they go through this. And we are standing in the gap for our sister Linda.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Well, we're going to pray. We're going to wrap this service up, and we're going to pray specifically for Russ right now. Disagree with me. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just commit Russ totally to you. I thank you for the doctors and everyone who is attending to him, the nurses, every person that is involved here, Father God. We ask for your wisdom to be imparted upon them. And Father, we believe that your supernatural power is being sent forth in the name of Jesus Christ to touch Russ's body. Thank you that Linda is able to lay hands on him, to pray and believe this morning when we were praying. And Father, in Jesus' name, let Russ be healed totally and completely. Let there be a miraculous recovery in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and we thank you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm looking forward to some testimonies of what God has done in the lives of individuals in this place this morning, because I truly believe that this has been a divine appointment. You're here because, or you're listening because, God appointed you to be here at this time, to be a part of this. We have an awesome, mighty God.
Yes.
We're living in a time where we must trust in Him. We have no hope other than that. We must. Stand with me. We're going to wrap things up.
Hey, Pastor Rob, can we sing through this chorus once? I used to sing this all the time to Seth when he was little, but this just bubbled up right here because we're talking about God being good. It's just a short little chorus, okay? But think about it. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for us. guide. Hold me closely to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way. He will make a way. Just remember, God is making the way.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Being with this congregation this morning, Lord, for your divine appointment here today. Thank you for guiding and directing. Strengthen your people, Lord. Help us as we leave this place to carry your supernatural power with us.
Yes.
Wherever we go, that we will be witnesses for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Have an awesome day. Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.